From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesian Finance Minister says COVID-19 handling costs equivalent to 4.2% of GDP. U.S.-Russian envoy tight-lipped as arms control talk starts in Vienna. Now the news in details. Costs borne by Indonesia's government to handle the COVID-19 pandemic and subsequent impact through the economic stimulus program reached 695.2 trillion rupiah, or 4.2% of the gross domestic products. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, during a work meeting with the House of Representatives Commission 10th and Monday, stated that on the basis of calculation from the revision package of Presidential Decree No. 54 of 2020 that they delivered with a deficit of 6.4%, the stimulus offered to Indonesia is then equal to 4.2% of the GDP. Indonesia's COVID-19 handling budget totals 695.2 trillion rupiah for the health sector, social protection, business incentive, micro, small and medium enterprises, corporate funding and ministry and governmental body sectors and local governments. The Task Force for the Acceleration of COVID-19 Handling has continued to promulgate health protocols among the public, especially the management of public facilities, including malls and shopping centers. Escorted by Antaranus Agency, the Task Force communication team, Dr. Reza Broto Asmoro, on Monday stated that the first protocol is limiting the number of visitors, then carrying out temperature checks at each entrance point. Any visitors or management personnel showing a body temperature of over 37.3 degrees Celsius should not be allowed to enter. The same should also apply to those not wearing masks. She continued, officers in charge of health checks should be equipped with masks and face shields and should be accompanied by a security officers. Aside from limiting the number of visitors, the number of vendors operating in shopping centers should also be limited. Displays cabinet must be put up at the distance, and operating hours should be adapted according to the health protocols. The Indonesian government, through a resolution issued by the Ministry of Health, has officially enforced health protocols for the tourism and creative economy sector. The health advice has been put together by the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy and concerned stakeholders and ministries. The health protocols for the sector have been ratified by the Health Minister's Resolution on Health Protocols for Communities in Public Places and Facilities in the Context of Prevention and Control of Coronavirus Disease 2019 or COVID-19. In a statement received by Antaranus Agency on Monday, Deputy of Strategic Policy at the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Erkurleni Ukar, said the health protocols for tourism sector and creative economy have been compiled based on three main issues: cleanliness, health, and safety. The health minister's resolution has laid down protocols for hotels, inns, homestays, hostels, and other accommodation, restaurants, smaller food joints and food services, tourist location, modes of transportation, creative economy services, event or meeting organization services, as well as other relevant public places and facilities closely affiliated with the tourism sector and the creative economy. Now let's move it on to the international news. Nuclear weapons talks between the United States and Russia have started in Vienna, with the two countries' envoy making only guarded comments shortly before they met. In a gray suit and spectacles, the U.S. Special Envoy for Armed Controls, Marshall Billingsley, arrived in Vienna on Monday, June 22nd for nuclear weapons talks with Russia. Little has been said officially about these arms controls negotiation, but the U.S. envoy has made clear there will be about nuclear weapons, suggesting they'll include replacing the new Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, known as START, which expires in February. Neither side gave much away as they arrived. As quoted from Reuters on Monday, the U.S. State Department said Billingsley would be in Vienna for 2 days of talks. START imposed a deployment limit of 1,550 each on the U.S. and Russia. It could be extended for up to 5 years if both sides agree. President Trump has repeatedly called for China to join the United States and Russia in talks on an agreement to replace START. Beijing, which is estimated to have about 300 nuclear weapons, has repeatedly rejected Trump's proposals. Health authorities in South Korea said for the first time on Monday it is in the midst of a second wave of novel coronavirus infection around Seoul. After months of warning, South Korea says that a second wave of coronavirus had hit the country, and it's been driven by small outbreaks that came during a holiday period in May. Authorities previously said the first wave had never really ended. Now they say the holiday seems to have changed that. Jung Eun-kyung is director of Korea's Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, said the forecast that the virus infection would decline in summer turned to be wrong.
Our forecast that virus infections would decline in summer turned out to be wrong. As long as people are having close contact with others, we believe that infections will continue.
South Korea reported a peak of more than 900 cases in a day at the end of February, but an intensive tracking and testing campaign lauded by global health officials lowered the numbers to single digits by late April. Just as soon as the countries announced it would ease restrictions in early May, new cases spike. That was driven in part by people who visited nightclubs and bars in Seoul over the May holiday weekend. As of midnight Sunday, South Korea reported 17 new cases. It marks the first time in nearly a month that daily cases had dropped below 20. New York City entered phase 2 of reopening on Monday, while at least 12 other states saw record COVID-19 spikes and the World Health Organization reported a record number of new daily cases. In the U.S., New York City, once the epicenter of the global outbreak, officially entered phase 2 of its reopening, the last part of the state to do so. After 100 days in locking down, many New Yorkers went to salons to get their first haircuts in months, shop at reopened retail stores, and dine at outdoor cafes. But while new cases in New York and neighboring New Jersey are at record low, with 1 to 2% of tests coming back positive, a dozen of states in South and Southwest have reported record increases in new cases. They include Arizona, California, Florida, and Texas, together home to about one-third of the U.S. population. As quoted from Reuters, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said on Monday, the state is averaging more than 3,500 new cases a day, with a positivity rate at almost 9%.
COVID-19 is now spreading at an unacceptable rate in Texas, and it must be corralled.
He said he had no plans, however, to shut down the economy down again. Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and South Carolina are also among the least of dozen states that have seen record spikes in COVID-19, mainly due to transmission among young people. More than 120,000 people have died of the coronavirus in the U.S. Saudi Arabia has banned international visitors from making the Islamic pilgrimage or Hajj this year in a bid to control coronavirus. As quoted by BBC.com, an announcement on state media said only a very limited number of people currently living in the kingdom may take part. An estimated 2 million people would otherwise have visited Mecca and Medina this summer for the annual gathering. There had been fears the Hajj might be cancelled altogether. In normal times, the pilgrimage is one of the most significant moments in the Muslim religious calendar. But only citizens from countries around the world who are already residents in Saudi Arabia will be allowed to attend this year. Listener, that was the news. I'm Niko Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling The Government of Indonesia is Optimistic that the Economy is Improving.
The COVID-19 pandemic has disrupted the economies of almost all countries in the world, including Indonesia. Economic growth in the second quarter of this year is also estimated to have dropped to minus 3.8%. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati, in a working meeting with the House of Representatives at Commission 11 in Jakarta on Monday, said the government has issued various policies to respond to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. If the momentum can be maintained, it is hoped that economic recovery will begin to be obvious in the third and fourth quarters of this year. She further remarked that the government projected Indonesia's economy could grow positively by around 1.4% in the third quarter of this year. However, the government is also preparing for the scenario of Indonesia's economy falling to minus 1.6% in that period. According to Minister Mulyani, if the economic rate reaches a minus projection, Indonesia will experience an economic recession. Meanwhile, Governor of Bank Indonesia Peri Warjio in the same meeting stated that he is optimistic that the Indonesian economy would grow in the third and fourth quarter of this year, so it is projected to have a positive effect for 2021. The reason is that there are several indicators that encourage the economic recovery. One of the most important indicators is the relaxation of large-scale social restriction or PSBB that has been applied in a number of areas, especially in Jakarta. In addition, there is a fiscal stimulus from the government and monetary from Bank Indonesia, especially for micro, small and medium enterprises. Another indicator is the increasing flow of foreign capital into Indonesia. The portfolio investment until June 15, 2020 has reached $7.3 billion, so that Indonesia's foreign exchange reserve have also increased to $130.5 billion. With these indicators, Governor Peri Warjio is optimistic that in 2021, Indonesia's economic growth will return to a positive range of 5-6%. International institutions such as the World Bank, International Monetary Fund IMF, and Asian Development Bank ADB also predict Indonesia's economic growth in the range of 2-5%. This optimism gives hope to Indonesian people who want their own economic situation to recover quickly. Thereby, they must support the government efforts to achieve this. As the government widens the door to economic activity, health protocols towards a new normal order have also been set up. Indonesian people must obey the health protocols to avoid the possibility of a second wave of the spread of COVID-19, which could make Indonesia fall into an economic recession. If that happens, the economic recovery will take longer and there will be more victims. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Today in history, I'll start with June the 23rd, 1939, France hands over Alexandria to Turkey. On June the 23rd, 1939, France handed the important port of Alexandria, which was then part of the Syrian territory, to Turkey. The port of Alexandria, located on the shores of the Mediterranean, was previously claimed by Turkey as part of its territory, but after the First World War, in a treaty signed by England and France, the port was handed over to Syria. However, with the growth of Ottoman government power and the pro-Western Mustafa Kemal Atatürk elected president of Turkey, France then, the colonial ruler of Syria, handed the port of Alexandria to Turkey. Let's switch to June 23, 1993. Mathematician Andrew Wiles succeeds in proving Fermat's last theorem at the University of Cambridge, England. Sir Andrew John Wiles is an English-American mathematician who is famous as the inventor of the evidence of Fermat's last theorem, an unsolved mathematical puzzle for over 300 years. Andrew Wiles was born in Cambridge, England in 1953 and attended the Lee School, Cambridge. His most famous work was to prove Fermat's last theorems by proving Taniyama Shimura's theorem. He knew Fermat's last theorem from the age of 10 and tried to prove it. He presented Fermat's last theorem at the University of Cambridge on June 23, 1993. I'll end with the 23rd of June 2007, Professor Su Yudis passed away. Former Minister of Health of the Republic of Indonesia for 1993 to 1998 period and former Rector of the University of Indonesia, Dr. Su Yudis is a great professor emeritus of the Microbiology Faculty Medicine, University of Indonesia. Until the end of his life, Dr. Su Yudis remains active as the Elders of Indonesia-Japan Friendship Society, Chairman of Blood Transfusion and Indonesian Red Cross Hospital, and President Commissioner of several companies in the field of health. Dr. Su Yudis died on June 23, 2007 due to a heart attack. During his service, Dr. Su Yudis received various awards, including Bintang Mahaputra Adi Pradana from the Government of Indonesia. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thank you.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today. Entitling with the momentum of 70 years of bilateral relation, Indonesia and China agreed to boost cooperation. Indonesia and China held a virtual meeting of high-level officials on Thursday. Director General of Asia-Pacific and Africa at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Desra Percaya, and Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of the People's Republic of China, Liu Zhichui, acted as the co-chairs. This meeting used the momentum of the 70th anniversary of bilateral relations. As quoted on the website kemlu.go.id, this meeting discussed various collaborations, both on bilateral, regional, and global level. Handling the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and the steps to prepare for a post-pandemic are the priority topics discussed at the meeting. Since the outbreak of the pandemic, the two countries have cooperated closely in the form of sending aid, such as personal protective equipment, testing kits, and other medical equipment. At present, the pharmaceutical industry of the two countries is collaborating in producing vaccine, which will soon enter the third phase of clinical trials in Indonesia. In addition to handling the pandemic, a number of important agendas were also discussed, including strengthening trade, investment and financial cooperation, plan for fast-track lane, travel corridor cooperation, increased cooperation within the framework of the World Maritime Access and the Belt and Road Initiative, and the sustainability and strengthening of bilateral mechanism interaction at various levels. At the regional and global level, both delegations discussed efforts to strengthen collaboration within the framework of Asian-China cooperation, the competition of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, and various other collaborations. The issue of protecting Indonesian citizens was also one of the topics of discussion, namely the follow-up on the handling and resolution of cases of crew members of Indonesian citizens who worked on Chinese fishing vessels and other consular issues. Indonesia is encouraging legal cooperation between the two countries in handling the crew member cases, as well as the management of the placement of Indonesian crews and Chinese fishing vessels. The virtual bilateral meeting is a form of commitment by the two countries to keep establishing open communication in a bid to boost bilateral cooperation, which is increasingly closer, and resolve issues that are of interest to both countries. That was My Indonesia. I'm Nuga Kusumawati.
Welcome to the new normal. Now, we are facing uncertainties. Uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear masks everywhere. Always keep your distance when doing activities. And avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible, in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
pernah terlintas untuk tinggalkan kamu jauh dariku, kasihku. Karena aku milikmu, kamu milikku, separuh nyawaku hidup bersamamu. Berdua kita lewati, meski hujan badai takkan berhenti,
takkan berhenti.
Sehidup semati, mentari pun tahu ku cinta padamu. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, aku kan selalu ada temani hingga hari tua. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, setia akan ku jaga kita teman bahagia. Takkan pernah ku lupa kamu yang ku cinta, dari ujung kaki hingga ujung kepala. Aku ingin kamu, kamu yang ku mau, belahan jiwaku, kamu masa depanku. Berdua kita lewati, meski hujan badai takkan berhenti. Sehidup semati, mentari pun tahu ku cinta padamu. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, aku kan selalu ada temani hingga hari tua. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, setia akan ku jaga kita teman bahagia.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Sagu Porno. Stay tuned. Sangihe Islands, Regency, North Sulawesi is blessed with abundant natural resources. One of them is Sago Tree, which has grown naturally since long time ago. With so many sago trees, the Sangihe community made sago as the main alternative food substitute for rice. Type of sago tree growing in Sangihe is Baruk sago variety. Baruk sago trees usually grow at dry land, slope and steep cliffs in accordance with the topography of the Sangihe Islands. The sago is processed to be various typical foods by local people. One of them is Sagu Porno. Sagu Porno is processed sago, which is roasted and uses special mold that is made of clay. The mold is called Porno, while its sago process in local language is actually called Humbia Pineda. But the local people call it Sagu Porno. The mold consists of some small rectangular boxes. The word porno, according to the local people, comes from Portuguese language forno, which means oven or baking tools. The process of making sagu porno is by roasting the mold on charcoal. After hot, coarse sago flour is poured into the mold, then the mold is covered by a sheet of zinc and also put the hot charcoal on it. Sagu porno has every flavor. This food is suitable eaten with fresh fish sauce or roasted fish. It is not difficult to find sagu porno in Sangihe because many restaurants or food stalls serve sagu porno and its side dishes. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. From Indonesia to the For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is a collaboration of Voice of Indonesia with the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is transportasi umum, or in English, public transport. Next is a sample conversation on transportasi umum or public transport. At the boarding house, Kevin asked Rama what transportation can be used to go to the campus.
Bagaimana cara pergi ke kampus?
Naik bis Transjakarta tujuan Rawamangun.
Oke, terima kasih.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to the theme of today, which is transportasi umum, which means public transport. I will say the words two times and you can repeat after me. Bagaimana, bagaimana, which means how. Kampus, kampus, which means campus. Pergi, pergi, which means to go. Bagaimana cara pergi ke kampus? Bagaimana cara pergi ke kampus, which means how do I go to campus? Or how to go to campus? Naik bis Transjakarta tujuan Rawamangun. Naik bis Transjakarta tujuan Rawamangun, which means take Transjakarta bus to Rawamangun. Oke, terima kasih. Oke, terima kasih, which means okay, thanks. In the conversation, you heard bagaimana cara pergi ke kampus? Bagaimana cara pergi ke kampus, which means how to go to the campus. In that phrase, there is a question word bagaimana, bagaimana, which means how. Bagaimana is used to ask the way to do something or to go to a place. To ask the way to do something, bagaimana, bagaimana is followed by the word cara, cara, which means the way. So, bagaimana cara means how to. Bagaimana cara pergi ke kampus? Which means how to go to campus. Naik bis Transjakarta tujuan Rawamangun. Naik bis Transjakarta tujuan Rawamangun, which means take Transjakarta bus to Rawamangun. You can tell how to go to the campus by using the phrase naik bis Transjakarta or take or buy Transjakarta bus as in the sample conversation or with the expression pakai bis Transjakarta or buy Transjakarta bus, which is only used in conversations. If on foot or walking, you can say dengan berjalan kaki. Dengan berjalan kaki, which means on foot. The word pakai, pakai, which means to use in English, is especially used in conversations. It also means to wear something, such as pakai baju. pakai baju, which means wearing clothes. Or pakai kendaraan. Pakai kendaraan, which means riding vehicles. If you hear, saya pakai motor ke kampus. Saya pakai motor ke kampus. It is the same as saya naik motor ke kampus. Saya naik motor ke kampus, which means I use or I ride motorcycle to campus. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia or let's speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the conversation once again.
Bagaimana cara pergi ke kampus?
Naik bis Transjakarta, tujuan Rawamangun.
Oke, terima kasih.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Voice of Indonesia COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Harib COVID-19 bibaqaikum fil manazil.
Zusammen gegen Corona, wir bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Bleib thuis. Was je handen met zeep, draag je masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the
saja lihat anggunnya, tak ingin rasa aku mencinta, dan tapi bila jauh darinya tak mampu aku melupakannya. Mungkin memangnya salahku yang tak pernah mengerti cinta tak mengenal arti sebuah angkuhan.
Bila saja lihat dirinya, ingin hati tak jatuh cinta, dan mungkin dia tahu semua, semakin aku dibuat resah. Mungkin memangnya salahku
yang tak pernah mengerti.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a mellow song entitled Usah Lupa Daratan, sung by Indra Shahnilam featuring Lansharus. The song Usah Lupa Daratan was composed by Indra Shahnilam and its lyrics consist of poem. In accordance with the title, its lyrics invite everybody to always doing good to all people and invites us to familiarizing giving alms. This song has a characteristic of mellow music because its music is begun with the sound of gambus music instrument. Besides gambus, the song is also accompanied by tambourine, accordion, and violin. The song Usah Lupa Daratan using Sambas Mela language, the language which is used by local people in Sambas, West Kalimantan. Listener, let's listen to the song Usah Lupa Daratan by Indra Shahnilam featuring Lan Syahrus. Enjoy the song.
Usah samekan nama pemati. Indonesia.
Jika memang benar cinta tak pernah salah, lantas mengapa banyak yang menghalang? Memang benar, sang waktu yang tak tepat, lantas mengapa kita dipertemukan? Berdebat hebat, nurani dan ego ini, oh Tuhan tolonglah, hapus semua rasa ku mencintai yang telah berbuah. Oh Tuhan tolonglah, batinku tersiksa. Nurani berkata, ku harus lepaskan dia.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voiindonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.